Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 37. Anujaniti now boomams. Tavanuchara kinkarao. Darshanam now Bhagavata. Rishir Asit Anugrahat Anujanihi. May we have permission. Now we, Bhuman, O greatest universal form, Tava Anuchara Kinkarao. Because of being servants of your most confidential devotee, Narada Muni. Darshanam, to see personally. Now, of us, Bhagavataha, of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishe, of the great Saint Narada. Asit, there was in the form of a curse. Anugrahat, from the mercy. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants, especially of Narada Muni. Now give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narada Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. Purport. Unless one is delivered or blessed by a devotee, one cannot realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. According to this verse of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, there are so many siddhas or yogis who cannot understand Krishna. Instead, they misunderstand him. But if one takes shelter of a devotee descending from the parampara system of Narada, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, one can then understand who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, many pseudo-incarnations are advertised simply for having exhibited some magical performances. But except for persons who are servants of Narada and other servants of Krishna, no one can understand who is God and who is not. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. No one is delivered from material conception of life unless favored by a Vaishnava. Others can never understand neither by speculation nor by any other bodily or material mental gymnastics. So the text again. Anuja nihi naubha bhumams tavanuchara kinkarau darshanam nau bhagavata rishir asit anugrahat. O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants, especially of Narada Muni. Now give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narada Muni that we've been able to see you face to face. Here we find that the two brothers, Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, are explaining the essence of devotional service. That devotional service depends upon hearing from devotees, that no one can make any advancement without hearing from devotees, and the more the devotee is self-realized, and the more one is receptive to such a devotee, then the more one can actually understand the science of Krishna consciousness. That devotional service and any knowledge progresses in five different phases. Beginning with theoretical knowledge, which is simply hearing. That's called jnana. And then it progresses towards perception, perspective. Unless we gain a perspective from what we're hearing, then all we're doing is just hearing our own minds. In other words, hearing is not enough. We actually have to digest what we heard. Otherwise, if we don't digest what we heard, it goes in one ear, and out the other ear. And we're back in the same state we were before we heard. Nothing really has changed, except that sitting in class, we got a little hungry, so it helped our eating prasadam. Feeling separation, not from Krishna, but from prasadam. But we actually have to let the sound vibration enter into our ear and digest it with our brain, and hopefully it goes into our heart. If it goes into our heart, that's called conviction. When we see it properly and then we become determined to follow it, to act according to it, that's called conviction. Without conviction, then we may see it, but if we don't act upon it, then we'll forget about it after some time also. It'll just get covered over. So generally conviction is when we see others following and getting a happy result. That's why if they're trying to sell anything nowadays on the internet or an advertisement, they always have a testimonial by someone who's actually experienced. So conviction is really developed mostly through good association and becoming inspired by seeing others following what we've understood, seeing what the happy result is when we see things properly and seeing the happy result of others who are following it, then we become inspired to do it ourselves also, try it out. And by such conviction and by trying it, we should be actually become more expert. In other words, just becoming convinced about something is not sufficient, or even acting on something, we have to practice. It's called devotional service. We have to practice devotional service and refine it. That's called skill. And when we become very refined and we're actually in consciousness of Krishna, then the result is we develop the same qualities as Krishna in minute quantity, and therefore we become effective as devotees. But unless we have the association of devotees, we can read Prabhupada's books, and of course that also is also associating with Srila Prabhupada, and we can hear it, but generally speaking, we're sociable beings, and generally speaking, our minds are more powerful. Our taste for our mental proclivities is higher than our, more intense than our, sometimes than our taste for devotional service and Krishna consciousness. So the first business in the mind is to separate us, and the way of separating us from the devotees, because otherwise we get out of Maya's clutches, and her job is to keep us in her clutches. So the first thing is Maya does is give us plenty of reasons to criticize the devotees. That's our perspective. We become like the flies looking for the stool rather than the bees looking for the honey. So Maya will tell us, due to our false ego, to look around and see all the faults and to relish them. Relish them in the sense that if others have faults, that makes me better than them. And I feel good if I'm better than others. And when I start seeing others' good qualities, then I start feeling humble, and Maya won't stand for that. Why are you feeling so humble? They'll kick you, they'll take advantage of you, they'll exploit you, you're too surrendered, you're too humble, you're too advanced. You deserve better than that. Maya will try to trick the practitioner by so many different allurements. How can such an exalted personality as you, so intelligent, so beautiful, so learned, how can such an exalted like you person like you demean yourself and become humble, especially in front of some other devotee who's so much less than you are. Don't you see how exalted you are? How can you demean yourself by becoming humble before such a fallen, lowly devotee as that? So Maya will always try to trick us in some way and take us out of the association of devotees. So we think, what do we need these devotees for? Krishna is in my heart. He's not going to leave me. Wherever I go, he comes along with me. So why do I need anyone else? It's me and Krishna forever. You know, me and Krishna forever, big heart. I love Krishna. These other people are just, you know, bad examples for my devotional service. So that way we lose our devotional service because we don't see, we start criticizing the devotees, and as soon as you criticize the devotee, that all their good qualities are lost and all you get all their bad qualities. It's just a natural transference, and your conviction becomes practically nothing. Your only conviction is if you perform devotional service, you become worse than when you started. That's the only conviction you have. And indeed, it's a self-fulfilling conviction. And indeed, by separating oneself from the devotees, one does become worse than when one started. We have the example of devotees who practice devotional service very intently for some time, intensely. But they decided that they were too good for the devotees. So they left. And they found they only took shelter of some woman or something like that, who agreed with them that you're too good for the other devotees. Only I can appreciate you. And the result was that they fell into Maya worse than before they were devotees. Because Maya has to spend a lot, has to double the amount of illusion to help one forget reality. Double the false ego. You've already fallen down. You're not good enough to be a devotee. If you go back to the devotees, they'll criticize you. They'll embarrass you. And that's too much. Just stay here, and I'll kick you harder. Because I love you. So we need the devotees not only to hear the theoretical knowledge, but also, if they explain it in such a way, we can see perspective. We can see what they're talking about. Not just talking philosophy or talking pastimes or stories, but we actually see what they're explaining, how to apply it within our lives. And then we see good examples. We look around for good examples, how they're applying it, and the happy result they're getting from it. Then we'll try to, then that inspiration will help us overcome our reluctancy to actually do the activities with determination so that eventually we can get the happy result we're observing in the other devotees. Because generally when we see the perspective, it's all theoretical. We try to apply it, then we run into so many obstacles. And we have to be patient. So when we see others have gone through the same thing I'm going through, but they've gone through it, and now they've obtain a better, happy result, then I can tolerate and pass the test and come to the platform of experience also. And then when I get the experience, then we want to refine it, because the experience of Krishna consciousness is the most sublime and subtle, and therefore it takes a great deal of refinement. Therefore, sometimes devotional service is compared to the making of sugar candy. I think first you have the sugar cane, and then you have the molasses or whatever, the refiner molasses, then they make sugar candy out of it, and then they, etc. They refine the sugar cane until you get pure sugar crystals. So devotional service has to be refined by becoming more and more skillful, especially in loving relationships, because devotional service is about love. appreciation. And then one has to come to the platform of karata. Not only talking about, not only trying to live it, but actually becoming developed in the spontaneous characteristics of a pure devotee, spontaneously having all the good qualities, so that if someone throws a fiery demon at you, like Durvasya threw at Ambarish Maharaj, you don't have to look it up in the book what your reaction should be. Let me see, what this fiery demon had. No, one spontaneously works on the highest platform because one is in contact with Krishna. So, therefore, as soon as we stop giving credit to the devotees for whatever advancement we made and think that now I've surpassed them and now I'm just working on my own pure prowess, my own pure qualities, then we're simply being bewildered by Maya. Eternally, we're always dependent upon higher devotees for whatever advancement we're making in any way. Even in the material world, everyone is eternally dependent upon higher persons to teach them something. Therefore, it says, Tarko apratishta shutiyavibina nisavari shiryasyanabhinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena kata sapanta. That we can go on speculating and arguing with each other, because that's our natural propensity, especially in Kali Yuga. Someone says white, immediately we think black. Someone says go up, and immediately think I want to go down. Just to show that I'm independent, that I don't need anyone because I'm Sarat. I'm self-satisfied and independent. So we'll go on arguing to our point. We'll even forget what our point is. Whatever we can remember was our point, we'll argue on that now. Although it may have been the same point the other person was arguing on 5 minutes ago that we were trying to defeat. Now we've accepted it and we're arguing it. Shrutiyavibhina. We study so many books. We think we know so much. We have so much knowledge. And we're just bewildered by all this knowledge. We don't know what it means or how it fits in, what the priorities are, how to apply it with my... But we have so much knowledge, and I'm proud. I'm just so learned. I can't believe it. Even Krishna has to come and consult me sometimes. Nasavari shiryasyanivinam. And I have so many persons I'm following, teaching me so many things. I have so many sages. I don't really surrender to any of them, but I follow them. I get knowledge so that I can become the supreme. Therefore, if we actually want to know reality, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam, we actually have to surrender to someone. And everyone indeed is surrendered. At the end of the day, whatever we do is because we're surrendered to one or a group of people. We have to ultimately make a decision what we're going to do. And that decision doesn't arrive out of our omnipresent vision of everything. It depends on our past association and what we become inspired by, and therefore we follow it, either in ignorance or in passion or in goodness. If we get an ignorant association, we become convinced and determined to become ignorant, like our leaders are. So go to school, learn how to identify all the different types of alcohol products and their combinations. I was seeing on the internet, they even have a YouTube channel where people go, someone goes to a festival and they interview people at the festival, young people, and ask them, what kind of drugs did you take today? And I guess you'd have to be a chemist to know what they're talking about. But anyhow, people, and they describe about the effects of all the different types of drugs, and I mean, I never heard of the drugs before, but they're quite familiar, and the interview is quite familiar, and the mixtures of the drug. In other words, if you want to go to hell, there's plenty of information how to do it, and association. and plenty of enthusiasm. I mean, he could talk all day about it. I don't know if this is probably in America. I don't know if they've advanced that far in Slovenia yet. I guess they have to a certain extent, because America's the leader. The race down to the bottom is intensifying. And then, of course, impassioned, how to make money. Previously, people used to want to make money, but now money doesn't have any value anymore. I mean, it's as much value as before, so people are losing their enthusiasm for just becoming so-called rich, because you may have $100 and another year it may be worth a penny. But anyhow, yes, you have $100 that's worth a penny now.
Saying that, how do you identify yourself? One was saying I'm a car. Another one was saying I'm Zinzer.
A what?
And they were talking about genders.
There's 71 at least now.
Yeah, and also the teacher was teaching in the class different kinds of genders. So the teacher was also teaching different kinds of genders in the class. And the father walks in the class and he's like, what are you teaching to the students? She's like, different kinds of gender. He's like, there's only he and she. There's no other gender.
Well, in some places in America at least, if you say there's only two genders, you'll get fired from here. Or you'll get... Actually, I think some people have gotten imprisoned by saying such... deviant philosophy. Matter of fact, professors have been fired because they didn't know what the proper... You have to learn the 71 different types of pronouns for the different genders. And if you misidentify someone and give them the wrong gender of the 71, it's considered a microaggression. People sometimes have to go and see counselors because someone misgendered them. And you can get into serious legal trouble for misgendering someone. So that's beyond ignorance. Even Yamaraj is trying to figure out.
There was this in the class there was a teacher and a man, he said, I am she. She said, no, you are John and you are he. She said, no, I am she. And then, you know, they were like arguing, and he said exactly, he's like, you are being aggressive to me. This is my different pronoun.
You have microaggressions and you have real aggressions. Anyhow, in the mode of passion, one tries to get material comfort and material wealth. And the people who, you know, what was the name of that person from Playboy? Who was the head of Playboy? Yeah, whatever, it's all right. They become the leaders or someone wealthy, industrial, or what's his name? Bill Gates becomes the leader. Of course, he's, for most sane people, he's not a leader anymore, but most people aren't sane. And in the mode of goodness, some ecologists, you know, save the whales or save the porpoises or something, they become the leader. And therefore, everyone is following the leader. Everyone is following some leader or a combination of leaders. One moment we're following one leader. Maybe we remember our mother when she told us, wash your hands before you eat. So we're following her. And then another leader, if we're in the mode of goodness, they chew your food. So we obey them and follow them. Another one says, you know, don't talk when you eat, when you're eating. So, you know, mode of goodness, we may follow so many leaders, so many instructions of the leaders. And if we see any good example, we're much more likely to follow it. If our parents were, you know, guys up there, we're down here, let's eat. And you learn that for 20 years. It's very hard. There's a habit that's really ingrained. And therefore, you know, even if you hear good examples, if you don't see it, even if you hear good instruction, if you just remember the examples of your parents, then, you know, every time you eat... So you need good examples that you appreciate, and you need good instruction. And then you have to refine it by getting better and better examples, better and better instructions, and then you can actually make some progress, especially in devotional service. Therefore, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, an example like Srila Prabhupada, and the instructions like Srila Prabhupada, and those who are following him to whatever example are better than we are. If we follow some example that's better than we are, then we'll get better. And if we don't see anyone better than us, then we'll see so many people worse than us. Anyone we don't see better than us, we'll probably think is worse than us. Maybe on the same level, but generally speaking, we're not. Our minds work in such a way in Kali Yuga. Either someone's so superior, they're up there, and we can't follow them, because they're just too high up there. It's beyond our capacity. Or they're so low, I don't even bother with them. Therefore, we're with the prey of our own minds and senses, and following some example that we like, you know, that we were attached to, due to the modes of nature we acquired. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? So when we do some activity, we should question, who am I following? Where did I get this habit from? What would be a better way of doing things? What could I look around and see maybe there's a better way of acting or doing? Because we need a good example and inspiration. Someone that we can appreciate, someone that we think is actually more advanced in knowledge, well, patience, knowledge, conviction, and in enthusiasm. In a good way, and real knowledge. I mean, people don't know what they're doing. I mean, the people who are taking drugs, they're really enthusiastic about it. But that enthusiasm won't last for very long. I mean, I didn't really watch very much, but anyhow, they had another one of the, which I didn't see. There was something about all your bad experiences on drugs. So, when you're in ignorance, you're actually proud of your bad experiences. I had this horrible experience. The devil came personally and tortured me. Wow, really? Well, let me tell you about my bad experience. It was much worse than yours. The mode of ignorance is a competition. Who's the most fallen? Who's the most ignorant? Who had the worst experience? I had such an experience that the devil came and he got frightened too. So we have to be careful that we have the right path and that we develop enthusiasm about the right path, not enthusiastic, because everyone is enthusiastic about something or another. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But real enthusiasm, what does it say that? Endeavor executed with intelligence and Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So there's real enthusiasm. And there's enthusiasm in the modes of nature also. Like the fly is very enthusiastic when he sees a fire to fly into it. Such enthusiasm is not very helpful. Yes?
I have a question. I'm just thinking when somebody is in the pastimes of the Lord, when, you know, when the jiva gets the real,
do you want to speak into the microphone?
when the jiva gets the, you know, in his real soul, and if he's in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, can he also participate in pastimes of Lord Lila at the same time?
Yeah, of course. Those who are following the Gaudiya Sampradaya, at least, those who are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they often have one body as a sadhaka in Goloka Vrindavan in the part where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, doing the Sankirtan movement. They have another body and is one of the, probably usually is a gopi or a manjari in the part where Krishna has his pastimes. So they simultaneously have eternally in two places, at least two places. They're not confused, though. We can do that now also, just like we're here and we can be somewhere else mentally. So we're actually in two places simultaneously. But there, the intensity of concentration of consciousness is such, it seems perfectly natural. There's no interference. And they're both simultaneously, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are always feeling separation from Radha and Krishna. So although they're feeling separation in that part of Goloka Vrindavan, they're actually in the other part of Goloka Vrindavan simultaneously.
Also, if anybody, like he knows his real position or identity.
I didn't understand anything you just said.
No, I understand.
I heard the devotee and something. Yeah, after that. Do you want to repeat the question?
Yeah.
It's working. You just have to hold it close and then you can hear it. Okay, good. You say the question and I'll repeat it. It says right here. Dear lecturer, please repeat the question for our online audience. Thank you.
I'm saying that, if a devotee, even by doing this work?
While living in this world. He knows his Swarup, yes.
He can still be here, but like you said, at the same time also, he can be mentally being participated in the pastime, in the spiritual
form. Not only mentally, he's there in the pastimes in his spiritual form. Not just a mental thing. But we have to go through the platform. We have to bring Krishna into our minds in order to develop our spiritual consciousness. So the mind can be thinking about material things, or it can think about spiritual things too. But when the mind is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we become, our spiritual form is manifested by Krishna's mercy. The stage of bhava. Then our spiritual form begins to be manifested. And at prema, we're situated in our spiritual identity. And then we can participate Krishna's pastimes. Not only think about them, but actually actively participate in them. A little advanced. We have to wait a little while, patiently. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. My question is that we see advanced devotees feel separation from Krishna when they chant, and I can't understand this, because chanting means that you're associating with Krishna, and how do you then feel separation?
Yes, you're associating with Krishna in separation. It's because you feel separation that you're associating with Krishna. So if you think Krishna is there, but you're feeling separation, then you'll think Krishna is there and your feelings are separation.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj. So how can we improve our listening to be more absorbed in the chanting and in the lecture and in the advices?
Well, if you want to pay more attention, get a piece of paper and pencil or a pen or something and write down the points that you find important. So then you'll be listening for important points. And then if you go back and review the points and see what they mean, how you could apply them in your life, and if you apply them in your life and get a happy result, you make some spiritual advancement, then you'll listen more attentively because you've gotten something valuable from it. if you're sitting down for prasadam, there's a lot of preparations. And you eat one preparation, has no taste whatsoever. And you need another preparation, it tastes, you know, all right. But if you eat something that you really like, that actually makes you feel good, you'll go back and eat some more of it. No one has to tell you you have to eat more of it. You'll automatically do it. So we follow the process, get the from the lecture or from the chanting something valuable, then we'll want more of it. We'll pay more attention to it.
Thank you.
Okay. Kuala Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Kijai.